Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If there was anyone that might have questioned the love of God on his life, it would have been the Apostle Paul. I think all of you know the story of Paul's life, that he was beaten on the back numerous times. He had been cast into prison, been stoned. And he came to preach to the people of God, and they rejected him. He was shipwrecked, and finally he is now in prison at Rome. He was accused of high treason, and he was awaiting his trial before Nero. And if there's anyone that ever questioned the fact that God loved him, it would have probably been the Apostle Paul. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you know that you're saved? Can you know that you know that you know that you are a child of God? I've had folks ask me, Carl, how do you know that you're saved? I'm going to tell you, if I didn't know I was saved, I would stop the message right now. And I would go to the altar right now and I would ask the Lord to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, if I didn't know. But I do know. I know in whom I know. Paul was hoping to be set free, either by acquittal, so that he could get back into the thick of preaching the gospel in the regions beyond, or by death, if that's what the Lord chose, why then he could go on and be with the Lord and enjoy that special place that God had prepared for those that love him. But I wonder if you ask Paul, do you know that you're saved? What would be his answer? Would he say something like this? Well, I've worked hard all of my life and I've tried to magnify Christ and I've preached the gospel in the regions beyond. I've built churches. I've walked with him on a daily basis. I'm trying to do my best. No, the Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I don't think it really mattered to the Apostle Paul whether he lived or whether he died. He knew that. Well, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to stay here and to work, and I also have a desire to go and be with the Lord. But he was open to what God wanted him to do. Well, in the meantime, the Apostle Paul would bathe himself in the unlimited love of God. And he prayed that God's people might do the same thing, regardless of how rough the road may get down here. God will see us through. Have you had any hard times lately? Has the road been just a little bit tough lately? You see, I'm here to remind you this morning of the fact that God loves you, and I don't know how hard the road has been, but I can tell you, it won't always be rosy ahead of you. But I'm here to tell you, the love of God will sustain you. God will see you through. And one of these days, we will come to the end of life's journey, just like the Apostle Paul, and we will stand before God, and we'll leave out of here. And we'll get a new body. And we'll go to a place that God has especially prepared for those that love him, and that is that place called heaven. And it's not a shack over in the corner of Glory Land, but it is a mansion that he's prepared for those that love him. Amen. Well, Paul gave some dimensions of God's love, and I want to briefly share some of these with you this morning. He talked about the breadth of God's love. Now, we know that the way we travel is a straight and narrow way, but the love of God is not narrow. God's love is so wide that he loved the publicans and the sinner. You remember that publican that said over in the corner of the temple, he smote upon his chest and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God loved him. He loved the wayward prodigal son. Even when he came to the father and said, Father, I want my inheritance, I want to leave home. He loved him when he went out into the far country, and he loved him when he had spent all of his money in riotous living, and he found himself in the hog pen. God still loved him. And he loved him when he came back to the father, and the father ran out to meet him, and he put a robe on his back, put a ring of sonship on his finger, put shoes on his feet, and said, kill the fatted calf, because this my son that was lost is home. Let's be merry and rejoice in the goodness of God. I'm here to remind you this morning that he also loved that bitter older brother who resented the fact that the wayward son, the brother, was being treated so well. God loved him. Brother, I don't care who you are this morning, and I don't understand how God can love some of these terrorists. I don't understand how God can love those that are killing Christians and delight in doing it. I don't understand it, but I know God loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. He loved the disciple John, who remained faithful unto death. But he also loved the disciple Judas, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. He loved Peter, who was crucified upside down in honor of his Savior. But he also loved Pontius Pilate, who handed him over to the Jews that he might be crucified. He loved Andrew and Ananias, but he also loved Annas and Antipas, the king. Oh yes, God's love is a wonderful love that is wide. How wide is it? John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's wide enough, if you will, in order to include everybody in this world. God loves everybody. Aren't you glad that he loves you? Sometimes we get just bent out of shape, and sometimes our lives are not always the way that they ought to be, and we don't always do what God wants, but God still loves us. Amen. You don't stop loving your child when they're disobedient. You may have to spank them, you may have to chastise them, but you do it out of love. And that's the way the Lord does. He may have to chastise us, but it's not because he hates us. It's not because he's mad at us. It's because he loves us. And I'm going to tell you, every now and then, all of us probably need a good taking to the woodshed in order for God to deal with us and help us to understand where we need to be. Paul also prayed that we might know something about the length of God's love. Just how long does God love us? How long? When, for instance, did God start loving us? Was it when we got saved? Was it when we reached the point in our life that we invited Christ to come into our heart? Was it when the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with us about our sins and draw us to repentance? Or was it when we were born, when we were in the mother's womb, did the Lord see us and say, well, I love him or I love her? Was it when he saw us in Adam? Was it back in creation when he made this world? Or was it before the foundations of the world was laid when in the mind of God he made plans for us because he loved us? Or was it even before that? He loves us with an everlasting love, with a love that is without a beginning, because he is without beginning, he is without end. As long as God is, he will love us. We need to understand that this morning, that God loves us with an everlasting love. When will God stop loving us? Will he stop loving us when we disobey him? If that were the case, he wouldn't love any of us. I know, I hate to bust your bubble, but he wouldn't love any of us, because there's nobody here perfect. There's nobody here that hasn't sinned and been disobedient to God. All of us have. But praise God, he loves us and he doesn't cast us aside when we do wrong and we step out of the straight and narrow. He loves us. What if we keep on sinning? Will he stop loving us if we do a lot of bad things? What if we sin 70 times 7? Can we expect God to love us and forgive us of even that? Oh, yes. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Has God ever stopped loving the lost who died in their sins and are now in the darkness of damnation? No, God still loves them. A good example is Luke chapter 16, when the rich man died and went into hell. Now, we know he went through the torments, and we know that he was suffering in the flame. But the Bible tells us that the Lord gave him an audience and he listened to him. He communicated to him because he cared. Now understand this, he still loves the lost and those that are in hell, but he cannot save them because his holiness demands repentance and they refuse to do it. You see, we have this time in life in which God has given us life and breath and gives us the opportunity for repentance. Now, God will call and he will plead and he will invite folks to come to him. They don't have to. And you know, a lot of folks choose not to. And when they come to the end of life's journey, as the tree falls, so shall it lay. Paul also prayed that we might know the depth of God's love. Just how deep is God's love? Well, Jesus stepped off the throne of the universe and he came down. And it was a long way down from heaven down to here. He came down from glory to Galilee, and from Galilee to the Garden of Gethsemane, and from the Garden of Gethsemane to Gabbatha, and from Gabbatha to Golgotha, and from Golgotha he went to the grave. I can tell you that was a long way down for Jesus Christ. He that had known no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In the old days, when a sailing ship would go around the world, it had to stay close to the shore. A linesman would stand at the bow of the boat and cast a weighted line into the sea. He would report his findings on how deep or how shallow the water was beneath the keel. The best report that he could give was no bottom with this line. Such is the love of God. There's no bottom to the love of God. There's no heights. There's no bottom. There's no width. There's no depth. He loves us with an everlasting love. All the depth of the love of God. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. When men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and mountains and hills call. God's love so sure, he'll still endure. All measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Or could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. And then there's the height of God's love. Jesus has now ascended on high and is seated in the highest heaven. His throne is high, it is lifted up. He reigns amid scenes of splendor. Host of heavenly angels bow down before him. Bright, sinless being rush to do his will. He is simply basking in the sunlight of the love of his Father. In the middle of all of this, the question is asked, has he forgotten us? He is our mediator between God and man. And he's on the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us. And he's mediating between us and God. He intercedes. You see, there may come a time in your life that you call upon God. What is Jesus doing? He's listening for that prayer. He's listening for you to call. And when you call, he's there. And he intercedes on your behalf to the Father. He will say something like this, Father, my son Carl, my brother in the Lord, is calling. And he's asked for forgiveness of his sins. Will you forgive him? He's met the terms. He's accepted me. The Father says, I'll forgive him. He communicates that to me through the Holy Spirit of God and lets me know all is well with my soul. Can I know? Oh, yes, I can know. Can you know? Oh, yes, you can know. Aren't you glad that you've got a know-so religion? Aren't you glad that your salvation is real and genuine because of the love of God that reached down and picked us up out of sin? We can know. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches down to the lowest hell. That's how far the love of God reaches. Aren't you glad? Let's bow for prayer.